When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my darkest hour, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be.
Did amazing.
You didn't sing with me.
No, because I wanted you to sing it. You did it great. Like, yeah. That's a good version.
Thanks. Beatles. You did really well. You know who chose the song?
I have no idea.
My mom.
I don't know anything about you other than...
I know.
You we don't. Connected years ago, and then I reconnected, and then I was impressed with what you started, and then I was even more impressed with what you've created. And I was like, I got to get this person in here. We got to talk about this because it's totally relevant to my audience. I'm telling you right now it is.
Okay.
Because I like these creative ways of I like your clientele. And when I say that, the kids, but also adults, and the kids in the adults.
Yeah.
That's what I like about it. I remember when I got started in construction, I used to have the best conversations with kids because their imagination was just going through the roof. And so you just got onto that train and started talking to them on their level. And then I was enjoying it. Like, what, we can do this and we can do this. And that's what I see moving rooms all about. Like, you can do this and you can do this. And it, and then there's the whole health and mental and everything that's associated with it that makes you a better person, whether it's a child or whether it's an adult. And I can see adults becoming kids as a result of this stuff. So that's why I was like, that's why I want to get you on the show and we get talking about that stuff. So everybody who's listening right now has no idea what we're talking about,
no.
What your product is and what you provide, but it changes the home.
Yeah.
That's what it does.
That's and the goal.
For such a huge positive way. Right. So I just, I'm not a fan of what people continuously do in their homes. They're always doing the same safe, trendy things. Mm-hmm. And now you've got something that is every home should have, in my opinion. There should be a room.
I agree.
That has movement in it.
I agree.
That's why I wanted you to be on the show.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you for opening the show with that classic song. It's great. Wonderful.
You're welcome.
Who owns the library now?
I don't know. Alexa.
Michael Jackson owns it for a little while. And then when he passed away, it got to somebody else or something.
Yeah. Oh, somebody bought it.
Well, there's a rumor that part of his death was because of that.
No.
Yeah. It was ownership of music. Mm. That's a whole other show. We're not even going to talk about that. Emily, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I want to share the information. Movement Rooms. Where did the name come from? Did it just hit you?
Yeah. Just, yes.
Okay.
I just came up with it.
www.movementrooms.com, Emily at movementrooms.com on IG. You can find her at Movement Rooms, of course. And how do you pronounce the last name again?
Dragoman.
Dragoman.
Yeah, Emily Dragoman.
What's the background?
Romanian.
Okay.
I thought I was about 25-30% Romanian. Turns out I'm about 5%, but the name's Romanian.
What's the other 95?
The French, British, Swedish, Spanish, Portuguese, Romanian. Yeah, very European, very Canadian, though.
Born here?
Born, raised here, parents born here.
Munja kicks. Yeah. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Let me do a quick shout out. Mike, I got Integra Bell, his polo shirt on there. And that's it. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. I haven't spoken to Mike in a while. He works in Burlington, Hamilton area. I wear a different person's t-shirt.
Oh, fun. I should get you a t-shirt. I don't even have a t-shirt.
Don't give me a lady size. Give me a men's size, right?
Men,
this one's a little
obviously.
Snug, but give me an XL. I'll be fine, right?
XL men's. You like the little polo, the little
button. No, I don't like the little polo.
No, okay.
I'm more of a T.
Okay.
Also shows up. I do.
No V-neck. Crew neck?
I could do V-neck. Okay. I could do crew neck. It's fine.
All right. I'll get myself one, too.
Do you guys not have swag?
No.
Merch?
No. No.
Okay, Emily, how
guys,
did it all begin?
I have a whole list. My to-do list is about a mile long. I'm checking things off one at a time.
I used to have a joke, and this is a joke.
Okay.
In my younger days, whenever I had a girl tell me I have a to-do list, and she would talk about her to-do list, I would just listen to this whole list of things that she has to put on there, and I would just say, am I on it? And then just walk away.
No.
So all you young guys, you can use that one if you want. It works.
Yeah.
So, all right, Emily, how did it begin? Like, where was the aha moment?
Okay.
I'm curious.
That's a big, you know, it's a simple question. It's a big question for me. That's a hard one for me to answer. I'm going to answer it, but it might take me a minute.
You got 90.
Okay. This, okay. It started because, so I have two little boys.
Okay.
How
old?
Right now, they're 7 and 10.
Okay.
Yeah. It started 6 years ago. It's emotional to even talk about because it started from a place of sort of desperation. I got married when I was 24 and was married for 9 years. And 9 years in, very sort of suddenly, things ended. And
by him?
Yes. And we have a beautiful relationship now, and that was 6 years ago, and we've done so much healing, and I've done so much healing, but that is really where it started, because there was nothing more important to me in the world than my family. Like, that was, when I was a little girl growing up, that's what I dreamed about. I was going to get married and have children and, you know, have a career, but that was what was the most important thing in my life. And so when that ended, I felt like I lost myself. So I was in a very, very, very dark place. This is a great way to start your show.
This is fine.
But I was really struggling, like deeply, deeply, deeply struggling. I was very...
Were you struggling with the fact that the marriage didn't work out? Or was it a combination?
It was all parts of it. It was like this life that I had created for myself that I thought was going to be this beautiful, perfect, you know, place to raise children, and this foundation, a strong foundation to raise kids in, was suddenly gone. And I was on my own with a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. And I was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do now? I was working at a different, like in a job that was a project management job, like for medical publishing. I wasn't very, you know.
Sounds exciting.
It was very not exciting. It was not exciting. It wasn't fulfilling.
Okay.
And so everything just sort of stopped. My whole life just stopped in that moment. And I had to really figure out what was important to me. So there's this quote. So I'm a Baha'i. I don't know if you've heard of the Baha'i faith.
No.
Okay. I mean, you can look it up. Go to Baha'i.org. There's all the information there. But I'm a Baha'i. And in the Baha'i writings, there's this quote. And the quote, I might mess it up. But basically it's, my home is the home of peace. My home is the home of joy and delight. My home is the home of laughter and exaltation. Those who come in must learn the lessons of love. Thus may they know how to love each other. It's this beautiful quote. And I'm sitting there in this very dark place with these two beautiful children thinking, how am I supposed to create that now? Like, this is what I was working towards. This is what's the most important thing in my life. How am I supposed to create this by myself now? Yeah. And, you said, like, where did you come up with the name? It just sort of came to me. This was after the fact. But it was like there was a moment where it was a download of information. It wasn't like a long investigation process where I was researching things. It was like in a moment, there was this download and I was like, I know how to do it. I know how to bring joy and laughter and play into my home. And I got out a sketch pad and I drew out this like weird little sketch of this thing that I wanted to create. I called a friend and I was like, listen, this is what I want to do. I don't know if it's going to work, but I can see it. I can visualize it, and I know that my boys are going to love it, and I know it's going to just change the energy in the home, and that's what I need right now. So he came over, and over the course of a weekend, we built this space, and that was the first ever movement room in my basement 6 years ago. And then from there, it was like, I didn't really think much of it. It wasn't something that I was like, okay, this is now what I'm going to do. No, like I had another job. I thought that I was set in that job. And then it wasn't until I had, I don't know how many dozens of people come over to my house for play dates, for birthday parties, for whatever. And they'd walk into my home and they'd be like, what is this? Like, I've never seen anything like that. Why don't you do this? And it never occurred to me that that was an option until it did. And then
you were solving your immediate problem.
I was desperate.
And then you never did anything like that before, where something was missing from your life that you just sat down and just started sketching something out to solve the solution? This is the very first time. They didn't know anything formally about how to do that?
Yes and no. My father is a piano builder.
That's right.
So I
read that.
Yeah. So I grew up in the piano shop with my dad, Mike Dragoman, the Renaissance man. So he basically, he'll take a piano, whatever piano, and he will completely take it apart and rebuild it as if it's a Steinway. Like, his work is world renowned. Like, he's incredible at what he does. Now, that was his first career. His second career, he ended up going back to school when he was 40. He became a chiropractor at 40. He's a brilliant, brilliant man, genius.
He wasn't fulfilled with the piano?
No, he wasn't. He wanted to create a different kind of life for his family, and he didn't think he could get there with the piano business. So he went back to school to become something more sort of legitimate and became a chiropractor.
Do you play?
Piano? I did when I was younger. No.
Will the boys play?
Yeah. My oldest plays. My 10-year-old. Yeah. He plays piano. He's really, really talented, actually. I mean, every parent. Skips a generation. Yeah. I grew up writing music, singing music, writing, recording. So when I write on the piano, but I don't perform piano at all.
Okay. Yeah. So you could be his producer.
I don't want him to go into music. That's not what I want for him. I want him to do that because he loves it, not because he has to do it. When you have a passion for something and you have a real talent for something, oftentimes when you turn that into a career, when you monetize that, you lose the passion for it. I know my story is very different. It's very different. And I can tell you all about it.
Well, that's why you're
not
here.
I have not lost the passion for what I do, but I'm an adult. Like, I chose this after I had chosen a lot of other things. Like, it wasn't like, you know, I went into this from the age of 15 and I just, that was my path I went through a lot of different options before I landed. Before I got to this.
The real question, though, Emily, is that did you choose this or did it choose you?
It chose me.
That's what I figured.
It chose me. Yep. Yeah. When I talk about it, I literally will say, like, it's almost as if I don't have an option. This is what I'm meant to do. It wasn't a choice that I made. It was like this opened this opportunity, this thing opened up to me, and I just said yes. And I feel like the best decisions I've ever made in my life are in those moments where something opens to me and I just walk through and say yes, right? When I'm not pushing for it, when I just receive and say okay and surrender to the universe and what I'm being told to do, and I walk through that door. And that's what this was. So I grew up in the piano shop with my father. So no, this was not the first thing I designed. This was not the first thing I built.
Did he help you build the first one?
My dad?
Yeah.
No.
Contribute any ideas or anything like that? Or no? Because obviously there's a sketch there.
Yeah.
And then there's reality on how to put this sketch together.
Yeah, but I know how to do that stuff.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you didn't need to ask him that, or you didn't want to ask him that?
I mean, we chatted about it.
Okay.
But I knew what I wanted. It was a download, and I was like, this is what it's going to look like, and this is how we're going to do it, and this is how it's going to go, and I just knew. But I had built other things before, like I, you know, built chairs and tables and, you know, I don't know, shoe racks and all the go-karts when I was a kid. We did all of that stuff. And I've always loved I feel very at home in the workshop. I feel like those are my people and that's my environment. I feel very comfortable and I love it. It's such a creative outlet for me that, it's just very natural for me to be in that setting, but I'm not particularly skilled at the carpentry part. There are people who are much, much, much better.
There's always going to be people.
That's why I hire them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Get them to do the hard parts.
Exactly.
We do that all the time in the industry.
Well, you have to.
You got to eventually at some point realize there's someone that's better than you and you work with them. Mm-hmm. That's how you get it done.
There's always somebody that's better than you. There's never somebody who is you.
No.
There's nobody who is going to have the unique experiences in life, the unique capacities, the unique talents, the unique gifts
that each individual person has. And I think it's really our responsibility to recognize those gifts within us and then take the steps to move towards fulfilling that. And I feel like that's what this business has been for me.
But at some point, this business is you're either going to have to let it go and hand it off to somebody else to take it over, so then you can move on with other things that you want to do in your life. No different than your dad going from piano to another career. And I question that too, because I bring it up because I recently have been having conversations since I've done over 600 shows. Mm-hmm. Where am I going to go with this? But at some point, I know there's a finish line for me. I don't want the show to end. I want someone else to take it over.
Right.
But everybody keeps on saying it's never going to be the same show. I go, well, that's the point. You make it yourself. Like, you make that show your show.
Yeah.
I just want to start the process. So I always like asking the origin of something that comes up with, which mm-hmm. is what we've gotten into to begin mm-hmm. with. Mm-hmm. But there's always an end to it. And it doesn't have to be a negative. It could be just a shift in direction. That's mm-hmm. all it could be, that it could lead you. And I'm pretty sure that this is probably going to lead you to your next. I'm just guessing at that point, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I was just... Can you describe the first one that you built? What was involved in that first one?
The first one after my own?
Yeah. No, the first one that you did for yourself.
Oh.
What did you incorporate? What did you design?
Okay, so my children were quite young, so they were 1 and 3. So I was keeping that in mind, but I wanted to have all of the things that would entertain them and keep them active and busy and moving for as long as possible. So the first one was a rock climbing wall. So it was like an 8-foot by 8-foot rock climbing wall.
Because every parent throws a 1-year-old on a rock climbing wall that's 8 feet high.
I literally have pictures of my 1-year-old in his diaper climbing the rocks. Like, he could do it. By the time he was 18 months old, he was up at the top and climbing across.
Yeah, you wish you had 10-foot ceilings.
I wish I had 20-foot ceilings. I would probably need some straps and some tie downs. But
there's mats on the floor.
There's thick mats on every floor. I'm a stickler for safety.
Probably the adults use the mats more often than the kids anyway.
What?
Maybe because they slip or something like that. Because as you get older, you forget to be a kid. That's where I was trying to go with the old opening thing.
Yeah.
It's just, we totally get nervous about, I'm the guy that's at the CN Tower jumping on the glass. I still am the guy at the CN Tower jumping on the glass.
Yeah.
We can't forget to be a kid. Like, you know, I used to be a practical joker, and like we all got to grow up at some point a little bit. We need to still hang on to what we used to be, shit disturbers as a kid, and try new things. So that's why I'm not surprised that you had a 1-year-old climbing an 8-foot rock climbing wall.
Yeah.
Just to kind of see, and he probably loved it.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Of course he loved it.
Yeah.
They all love it. And then there was a ladder, and then there was a rope.
A rope ladder or a regular
wood? Like a regular wooden ladder that we built. And then there was a rope wall or rope climber. And then there was a trapeze. And then everything I do on the ceiling is always interchangeable. So I really, it's important for me that if a family is investing in a space, or if I'm investing in a space, that it continues to grow with the children. So as their capacity increases, the space can grow with them. So a lot of things are interchangeable. It keeps it interesting. It keeps it dynamic, and it keeps it challenging for them. So we had like a trapeze, and then I would switch it out for a big swing, and then a sensory swing, and then gym rings, and then slides, a rope, and then whatever it was.
Yeah.
So you keep it really dynamic and really engaging. And so it's funny because the model hasn't really changed a whole lot since the very first one I built. And that's why I said it was like a download. And it was just this moment of clarity of like, yeah. And then once I realized that other people might be interested, then it was just like, whoa, my brain just went crazy with all of the different options. And so then I went into the shop and started prototyping. And I just made different versions of all of the things that were spinning around in my head, and then started experimenting in other people's homes. They paid me to experiment. I experimented a lot in my own home with my own children.
How did they start the conversation? Because obviously they have a house, and there's a room, and then there's their, like, we're familiar with so-called playrooms.
Yes.
Which are those foam tile crappy, I'm not a fan of, I can't stand, right?
Yeah, well, they're the playrooms. I walk into different playroom every single day. And every time I walk in, they all look exactly the
same. Exactly. That's why.
There's foam tiles, little click together foam tiles all over the floor. There's
the IKEA, bin full of whatever. Yeah.
There's bins full of stuff that's mostly dumped out. And then there are plastic toys upon plastic toys upon plastic. It's just like multicolored awfulness surrounding the whole space. And I walk in and I'm instantly overwhelmed. I'm like, how is a child going to be inspired?
They're not interested in being in this environment.
No, they don't. And not all of them. I mean, of course, like there's blocks and there's things that they can play with. And they do. But it's also very overwhelming for a lot of children to have that much choice when they walk into a space. And so eliminating choice for a child, give them a few choices, give them a few options of things that are possible to play with, and then just put the rest away, because then they get to really engage with what it is that they're working with instead of being so distracted all the time. And you'll see my playrooms, like, they're very calm.
Yep.
They're very serene. They're very minimal. That's on purpose.
That's the idea.
That's the idea.
You want the person using it focusing on the task at hand.
And I want them to walk in and feel calm and feel inspired and look at it and feel like feel the beauty. I feel like beauty is something that we think about beauty as if it's vain. I think of beauty like it's a spiritual quality. Like beauty has this quality about it that just instantly uplifts you. And I want kids to walk into a space and feel that. I want memories to be made in those spaces.
You're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you, at what point did the parents start coming into the conversation saying, why can't I use this for myself? Because now you have adults using the rooms too.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because I go back to, as we get older, we forget to be playful. We forget to stretch. We forget to do all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But your walls and your details that you're creating, they're applicable to adults.
Yeah.
100%, right?
Yeah.
So at what point was it, like, the first year, or was it the first job, or did the conversations turn to the adult?
So my background is in human health, nutrition, biology. I studied the human body. I love science and I love anatomy and I love pathology. And so that's what I went to school for. And then fitness and health. I mean, my dad's a chiropractor. So I grew up in the conversation of health and fitness. And it's always been at the forefront of my mind. I'm always thinking about what can I do to improve my life force, to improve my longevity, to improve my health. And so for me, the first original space in my home was not for adults at all. Like, that wasn't in my mind. Yep. But shortly after that, when I went into the shop and started prototyping, I knew the first thing I wanted to make was something for adults and kids, because I knew the value of being active with your children and demonstrating, showing them what that looks like to really honor yourself and honor your body and make your well-being physically and emotionally and mentally. What does it look like to put that at the forefront of your life? And so the first thing I made in the shop with my dad in his piano shop during COVID was this thing that I call the Cali bars. And I'm really into calisthenics. Calisthenics are like, it's movement, it's fitness with your own body.
Now, what are the Cali bars? Are the vertical bars that out of wood?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So it's a ladder and then there's an overhang on the top.
Yeah. I know what you're
talking about. Overhang on the top has five different grips for all your different
holds. Did we have a photo of it?
I think you sent one.
Yeah. No. So I just tell people that are listening to the show. There it is. You just move the one back.
Oh yeah. That's it
there. Yeah. To watch the show so you get a better idea of it. So that's the first thing you built for adults.
That's the first thing I built for adults. Yeah. And so that took many, many, we did many versions because I had really specific things that I wanted to achieve. These things exist already. There are versions of this that exist, but I didn't like any of them because the top overhang, first of all, only had one, they usually only have one grip option. So you're either doing chin-up or a pull-up,
and
right?
And that's it. And that's not, it doesn't work that way.
Right. And so because my father is a chiropractor and I grew up like understanding physiology, and I knew that it's really important to have different options for your grip when you're doing your pull-ups. So, and chin-ups. And so I have five different grip options. There's the close one. There's five. And I wanted that overhang to come out away from the wall significantly enough that children could also benefit from this as if it's monkey bars, but also so that we could hang things off of it and children could play and flip. So you can put a trapeze on that, or you can put gym rings, and that just makes it so much more functional and more playful for adults. Because you can do, you know, skin the cat, you can do all of your different like ring exercises or TRX exercises with this one unit, and it's a play unit for kids. So in my mind, I was like, if I want adults to actually engage with their children in a form of play that everybody benefits from and everybody enjoys, then I have to make it very functional for adults and also fun for kids. So the way we ended up doing that after many different versions was we ended up laminating an aluminum inside the birch.
Saw that.
So
what? Can you zoom in? No, I know.
Not even on Instagram.
I see it. So you could actually on that one,
this one, you can see it better. You can see the shiny part in the middle.
I know.
So that's laminated with aluminum because we tried all of the different options with all the different woods, and I couldn't get the
extension
that I wanted. Yeah. I wouldn't without using metal, but I didn't want it metal because I want it warm and I want it to look beautiful. And I think we achieved that with this design. And it's a shit ton of work to make.
It's a solid piece of aluminum in there?
It's a solid piece of aluminum.
What is that, 1 centimeter thick?
I think it's a little bit more.
Okay.
I think it's almost 2. I can't remember what we ended up finalizing.
No, I noticed that when I was looking through it. I was like, it totally makes sense because structural, I can only assume, I don't know what the rating is, but it could probably easily hold 250. No problem.
More than that.
Yeah.
We've had 4 men hang off of it, literally like pulling it, tugging on it. It doesn't move. It's hundreds of pounds, which was important to me because, again, safety is very important to me. I do not want this going up in someone's house and someone's uncle coming over and climbing up and, you know, cracking it. And then, you know, then someone gets mad at me. So I wanted to make it beautiful, but also very, very strong. And this is what we landed on.
So the structural components of what you're building, was it a trial and error, or were you doing the math on that, trying to figure out exactly how this would work?
Both.
That's where science started coming in, or physics in general starts coming in.
Yeah, we did a lot of both. We did trial and error. Like, I knew the general look. I wanted it to look really pretty. And then we just tried it out to see what was actually comfortable as a grip, mm-hmm. what radius we could do that felt good, but that still maintained the strength. Obviously, if you've got a metal bar, like a 30 mil bar, that has the strength that you want, but and the size that you want, but it's very hard to achieve that same strength with that size in a wood. Like, you just can't, right? So, yes, we did trial and error, and then I consulted lots of different people to figure out what the actual strength was, and then we just started testing it out and hanging as many things as we could off of it to see what it would weigh. We actually had the idea, I think I should still do it, of hanging a piano from it, just because it'd be fun. It would totally be cool
because, trust me, I've moved a piano once in my life, and I will only move a piano once in my life.
I know, I've had one in my house, and I'll never get rid of it.
It's just difficult. I kind of have the answer for this question here. I'm just assuming, why did you go the Baltic birch kind of wood?
Versus?
I just think that you chose that one because the only other wood I would suggest, but it's a lot more expensive, would be bird's eye maple. Mm. Right, but the Baltic birch makes a lot of sense because, first of all, it's a strong ply.
It's very, very, very strong.
But it's also very nice, warm, soothing tone.
Exactly. So it has the undertones that I like.
Yeah.
I love the very neutral, slightly pinky undertone. I'm not a fan of a yellow undertone. In a wood, so like a pine. I mean, maple is also beautiful.
Pine would never work.
No. Maple actually is really beautiful. If I finish it and I finish it the way I like, then it's fine.
That's the problem with maple. It's the finishing process.
Yeah.
Anybody who's done maple and worked with maple and there's like, it's almost like a crapshoot. You just don't know exactly how it's going to turn out.
Yeah. I mean, we clear coat. I just clear coat everything and everything's water-based. So it doesn't yellow, it doesn't amber. It's still like it's, and we do usually like a nice matte finish. It's nice. It feels great. It's non-toxic. I've had this for many years now and it looks absolutely brand new. Like completely, you would never know that I didn't put it in yesterday.
Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at Teresa Greco _ Steps to Happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Going back to that other photo, I noticed a little detail that I didn't notice before. The first one that we saw of this right there, the mats. So yeah. You've got to cut out around the base.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Because if I was a child, I would find that little spot there and I'd probably hit my head, right? So well, it's like you're totally covering everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's more for the visual, to be perfectly honest, okay. Because I can put flat mats in front of those units and the space, the gap isn't very big. And so it's not really a danger, but visually, and you don't want the mats to move around.
No.
So if it fits perfectly in that space and there's cutouts for the legs, then for the rails, then those mats don't go anywhere. They're super thick. They're heavy. It looks pretty. Like, I am not interested in making something that looks shoddy or crappy. That's not what we do.
It's got to look good. But it also has to be functional too, right?
And it has to be, the reason the visual is so, the aesthetics is so important to me is because I actually want people to walk into the room and love it. I don't want people to think after a year, oh, this is an eyesore. I got to get rid of this. Oh, you know, it worked really well for a little while. I'm glad we had it. But, you know, it's kind of ugly. We got to, you know, do the next. No, like, it's beautiful. So you want to show it off. You want to, the kids want to invite friends over to play.
Of course they do, totally.
And it can be in the main living space. It doesn't have to be tucked away in a basement. I do a lot of basements, of course, but it doesn't have to be. Like, this is the main floor of this house.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Because it's where the family lives. And I tell people, I'm very honest with my clients. And I always say, like, I don't want to build you something that you aren't going to use. So let's be really real about how you use your home and let's figure out the best possible solution for your home and how you use it. Because if you tuck it away in a bedroom somewhere,
what's the point?
No one's going to go there.
Yeah.
So I really encourage people to just rethink the way they're using their home. How do you use it daily? Let's elevate that. Let's bring more play. Let's bring more movement into the spaces that you already use.
Do you think, because you started around COVID and people started realizing, because I've shared this on the show several times, mm-hmm. they started realizing their home wasn't a home.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a proper home. Yeah. And then they started realizing, hang on a sec, we should be doing something differently in this home, right? We should be using it as a home. Mm-hmm. So do you think that kind of gave you an opportunity to show people that your home could be a lot better because of what was going on at the time, right?
I think it was the perfect time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that a lot of things aligned to allow me to launch the business. Mm-hmm. And I think COVID was definitely one of those things. Also because I wasn't able to actually go to work. And I was able to spend hours upon hours upon hours in the shop figuring these things out and prototyping. So I think COVID was really interesting for a lot of people because exactly what you said, it's we had to rethink the way we were using our homes. And I think that provided me with a great opportunity. And I find it so fascinating how we actually use our homes. Because I walk into this is a very interesting topic for me because I walk into homes all the time. Every day I'm going into a new home. Mm-hmm. And you walk in and there's a bench to sit down. And then you walk into the living room and there's a sectional couch that's awesome to sit down on. And then you walk into the kitchen and there's a table or an island with all these chairs to sit in. And then there's the lounge in the back. And then there's the bedroom with the bed. And then there's the rec room with the couches down there and the chairs and it's like every single room in these houses, they're all meant for sitting. Every room you go in is a sitting room. They're set up that way. Yep. And we know the importance of movement. I think like we're getting as a society, as a whole, we're starting to understand these things more. Everybody's talking about it. Smoking or sitting is the new smoking. We know. Have you not heard that?
No, I've not heard that.
Sitting is the new smoking. And we know.
Is it because of devices?
Why we're sitting so much?
Yeah. We don't want to move because our eyes can't follow the screen as we're walking along. So we might as well just sit down.
All of these things contribute. I think that staring at our devices is, well, it's also just natural progression of society, right? Like we used to have labor jobs.
We're headed to our Wall-E world.
It's terrifying. But there are choices that we can make to set ourselves up for success. And I think the way we're building homes right now is not setting families up for success.
Oh, 100%. I agree with you on that. What do they say? We use 10% of our brain or whatever that amount is. It's like, I don't know what it is, right? Yeah. I think most people use 10% of their house. Mm-hmm. They don't realize they're missing so much opportunity that I don't really care so much about a home and all the rooms looking aesthetically pleasing to kind of connect each other. Mm-hmm. I look at rooms as what's that purpose of that room?
Yeah.
If it's an office, if it's a, you know, family room, if it's a dining room, then the purpose of that room should be maximized. Yeah. It should be 100%. So you don't need to just have this museum. And that's the other thing. Whenever I used to construct and I would talk to clients and I would come up with interesting ideas or whatever, I would tell them when the job was done, I want to come back in a year or two and I want to see worn in elements to this room.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it's beautiful. We don't want to wreck it. I'm like, I want to see dog scratching part of it, yeah, kids knocking into something. I'll come back and I'll fix, touch up and tweak a little bit. Yeah. But I want the rooms to be used. You've purchased this. We built it. Use the rooms.
Yeah.
Don't just museum the rooms.
Yeah.
There's no purpose in that,
there's
right?
There's no purpose.
So that's why I think people only use 10% of their house.
And what is the purpose? Like, so the dining room, what is the purpose of the dining room?
It could be, there's several different ways that room, these days you'll catch me standing while I'm eating. Mm-hmm. Because I just kind of, you know what, to be very truthful, the view is better, mm-hmm, than sitting at a table. Mm-hmm. For a living these days, I sit at a table and talk to strangers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the view is what it is, right? But when I'm at home, I rather just sit at the countertop or stand at the countertop and I'll eat, you know, like if I want to eat that way.
Yeah.
If you catch me, I used to go to restaurants because I don't really go to restaurants all that much because I'm older, so I get a sense that I could cook better than some of the restaurants, uh-huh, out there. You'll find me at the bar.
Yeah.
I'd rather be at the bar because the view is better.
The view is better.
I'm always paying attention to the view. I'm always conscious of Mother Nature and where she's presenting her views. Mm-hmm. So I always pay attention to, coming from construction, from production, we used to do these sun charts. We always have these conversations about sun charts. And I was like, I love these sun charts. Like, we could predict where the sun's going to be and what the cascading effects of the sun in a home. I've never had conversations with clients or designers about, where is the sun going to be at 11 o'clock in the back kitchen or the front office?
Right.
I want to know what that sun's going to look like, because that sun is going to affect what this room is objecting. Yeah. Like, that's what I want to pull off.
Yeah.
But nobody ever talks about that stuff.
Yeah.
So it goes towards what you've created here, which is a movement, right? People need to appreciate, I'll be at home walking around while I'm having a conversation on the phone. Mm-hmm. I want to move around. It's just, I don't want to be stuck at a desk all the time.
Yeah. So. And when I walk into a home, I see each room as an opportunity for deeper connection. So when I go in, you know, I said, what's the dining room for? When I think of the dining room, my dining room, I look at that big, beautiful table that I built with my dad. It's a beautiful walnut table that we built, I don't know, 15 years ago together. And I see my boys playing Rummy Cube at that table. And I see us sharing a meal together at that table. And I really want people to look at their homes and the spaces within their homes as opportunities for deeper connection with your family. So what does that look like? First of all, you have to decide what is it that you value, right? Mm-hmm. What is it that you value in your life in general? Like, this is a big conversation, but it's really relevant. And I think not enough people are asking themselves that when they're making decisions about their life. What is it that you really, really value? Well, I really value, I mean, it's very obvious. If you look at somebody, it's very obvious. It becomes very obvious what they value.
Yep.
You know when someone values health and fitness. You can see it. It's written all over them. You know when someone values their children. Grab their phone. It's the screensaver. So when you walk into someone's home, I want to be able to tell what it is that you value. Why can't I tell? I have walked into hundreds of homes. I have no idea who these people are. They all look the same. They're all used exactly the same. And my invitation is, let's think about what it is that we're trying to create within our family and then build our home around that.
Yeah.
Don't think about what it is the last 500 people who've built homes want. Don't go on Pinterest and find the prettiest version of a dining room and the prettiest version. No, look at your own self
find
and
your own version.
Family and find your version.
Yep.
If you love playing Clue with your family, create a space where that makes sense. If you have children.
Not that I know of.
what are all parents complaining about with their children? They're loud.
Did they really?
They're loud. They're messy. They are, they never stop moving, right? Children are created to explore the world around them, to learn what they're capable of, to explore what their body is capable of, to investigate new ways of experiencing the world. But if you walk into a house, half the time you don't even know that kids live there. There's like a tiny little basement playroom with all these plastic toys, and that's the only place they're allowed to sort of be
kids.
Keep
it contained there.
Keep it contained within this one space. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I have a basement play space as well. That's great. But let's give them what they actually crave. Let's give them what they actually need to set themselves up for, this sounds cheesy, but to set themselves up for a successful life. What creates a successful life? Like, there are very clear things that children need to do and need to learn in order to be physically, mentally, and emotionally well. And a huge part of that is play. Like, that is a child's most important job. Is play. That is their only job. And if I could reinvent schools, I would quadruple the amount of play that these kids are actually getting, not just in kindergarten and JK and SK. No, no, no. All the way up till 10, 11, 12.
Schools don't want active kids, physically active kids. What did you say parents are, what is it? They're loud. They're, what is it?
Kids?
Yeah, what did you say?
They're loud, they're messy, and they move all the time.
Yeah, so you basically described half of the good construction folks out there, right? That's who they are.
I was thinking about it because I was like, I wonder, you know, I'm curious about who's listening to you and who's listening to your show.
Well, no, there's lots of contractors, and I'm probably the minority not having children, mm-hmm. but majority of them have kids, and they'll come up with certain ideas like this, but they haven't gotten to this extreme where here's opportunity to integrate something into your home.
Yeah.
I've always had those battles with clients, and I can only imagine that you're probably a lot better at it because you're right. You walk in and it could be the same house that you just walked in the day before.
Yeah.
Everybody keeps safe and they keep it the exact same way that they are trending right now. Mm-hmm. Whatever's working on house or Pinterest or whatever's the trending thing and whatever designer magazine that's currently out there. Mm-hmm. But they're stuffy. I can't stand it. They're not homes, right? These, when I start looking at your images and what you're creating and what you're installing, you're inviting a home inside the home. Mm-hmm. It's just, it works for me. That's mm-hmm. what I look at it and I'm like, that makes a lot of sense, right? But I also, and I can make suggestions here and you can throw them out the window or whatever, but I'm disappointed that stair companies, because we've seen this before. Why isn't there a slide next to the stair? Mm-hmm. And that's applicable to if I was an old guy who's having a hard time going up and down, I don't want to be in a motorized chair. Mm-hmm. I'll just slide my ass down to the main floor, right? So that slide will still be used. You might have
a hard landing at the bottom.
That's why you put mats there and yeah, I'll cut it out to the base of the slide, to the slide, right? But also I came across a post on social media recently, which it put a huge smile on my face. A young couple bought a house. They lifted up the old ratty carpet mm-hmm. and they found a full-size Monopoly board on the entire room. A full-size.
Stop.
And my first thought was the family memories that are associated with that.
Yep.
And that's what you're creating here. It's memories.
When I walk into a home, I think about the core memories that those children are going to make in these spaces. That is so inspiring for me. Yeah. That's why that's the best part of my job, because I'm like, can you imagine thinking back on your childhood and your playroom and that's what you had to grow up in? Like, I feel like that would just make those children feel so special and valued and important and heard and seen. It's like my parents knew exactly what I actually needed as a child. I needed play and I needed movement and I needed their involvement. I needed them to be with me and to look in my eyes and without a device, have one-on-one time with me, connecting with me in this very beautiful, playful, joyful way. Yep. And those are the things they're going to remember.
What do they say that children, what they really do is they help adults remember what it's like to be a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what's going on, which is really important, right? But I also, like, you could incorporate this with adults that have office environments. Like, why can't there be, I always had a crazy idea of putting hammocks inside the house.
I have a hammock inside my house.
Why can't we have a hammock inside the
you
house?
You can't have right? a hammock inside your house.
I don't, if you're in an office or whatever and you're having a work day and all of a sudden you want to take a break because you're sitting at a desk. Like, just sit in the hammock for a little bit and just chill out for a bit. It's going to completely change your state.
And do you know how regulating that is? Like, immediate calm. It recreates. So actually, in this picture, that's called a sensory swing. And that is a compression swing that recreates sort of the experience of being in a womb. It sounds strange, but it is so...
What, when you're hanging there?
She's hanging there, but you can really enclose yourself completely within that swing. It's a stretchy fabric swing. And you can play, you can spin, you can do all these things, but you can also just sit in it. And I do that every couple days when I need to have a break from work, or when I'm super stressed, or when I just need to calm down. I go in my kid's swing. It's amazing. And if it does that for me, then it's doing that for them.
I mean, it's a lot like you're bringing the outdoors indoor, and you're letting people understand that you don't have to be constricted by four walls. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I understand that for the most part, especially during the pandemic crap, like a lot of people were stuck in their house. And mm-hmm. then that's why a lot of work was going on outside where they want to extend their house. And, mm-hmm. and their extension of ideas was, let's have a deck. Let's have a little garden. And I'm like, I think there should be. There was something, I'm always coming up with stupid, crazy ideas because I always want to push certain ideas and I'm messing around with certain things that I'm trying to present to certain clients. And I'm like, I already know they're going to say no, but they don't understand the value that's associated with that.
Yeah.
Like I've always, and I think why I had a following and people started paying attention to a lot of the craziness that I was coming up with uh-huh. is because they started understanding that I was taking what we all expect. And then I was creating something different from that. I was using the same materials and the same techniques, but I was presenting it differently. Mm-hmm. And that's what I appreciate about your work is that you're doing the exact, like you can walk in and just grab this, but it's how you execute it that makes it completely different, right? But it's really important, the purpose behind the execution.
Yeah,
that's where clients don't, it's hard for them to see it. So it must be a challenge for you sometimes to walk in and see this museum. Beautiful home, whatever. They spent all kinds of money designing and building it and all this other stuff. But for me, I look at it and I'm like, this ain't a home. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It's not a home. Mm-hmm. You need to start changing things. So I can only imagine that you put your products, you start making one section of the house moving mm-hmm. and I get, it's got to infiltrate the other rooms too. Mm-hmm. You got to have started like conversations with the artists going, could we do something in here? Can yeah. we do something in here?
Yeah.
That must happen all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah. yeah. I get callbacks a lot. Not callbacks, not in a bad way.
No.
Good
no.
way callbacks.
Yeah. Where, we were thinking this yeah. and what can you come up with?
Yeah. Can you do something? Okay, you've done the space in the basement. Can you do something in the bedroom now? Can you do something on the main floor playroom? Can we actually, maybe I don't want to put it in the basement. Maybe I want to convert the dining room into a playroom. And I'm like, absolutely. Let's do that. That's a beautiful idea. And the things, I mean, I'm also conscious of I want people to get the most out of these spaces. So we offer so many different options depending on what we feel is the most useful to that family and what their budget is. Of course, like the big two-story loft structures with, you know, the beautiful wallpaper and the new rugs and the all the various elements of play, that sort of one level of investment that you know, some people who are really who really understand the value of play and movement, we invest in what we value. So if I have a family who really values play and movement and fitness and health, then they are going to spend more than a family who doesn't. It doesn't matter if I'm walking into the biggest house in Toronto or the smallest house in Toronto. I actually have no idea. There's often not that the budget does not correlate to the size of the house. The budget correlates to their values. And so a lot of my clients are doctors because they understand what health is.
Yeah.
Teachers.
Yep.
Because they understand the importance of the early years of development. And people who are really into health and fitness. Like those are my main clients. But I always tell people, like, we can do something at any budget. Really, like any budget, we do have solutions. If you want it to look like this, it's going to be in this budget.
Yep.
But there are all these other options because I want people to see that you don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to have, you know, 1,000 square feet to make a movement room. No, you can literally take two elements that we make or we have and integrate them into an existing space. So it's really important to me that I'm offering solutions at any price point. Obviously, I have my favorites. I love walking into a space and just being able to do anything I want. I'm working on one right now and I'm just like, all of my dreams are coming true in this playroom. I don't know. How big would it be? I don't know. Maybe it's not even that big. It's probably like maybe 700 square feet.
Okay.
600. But they're just like letting me do what I want to do. And so I get to dream up this beautiful, dreamy, whimsical space, and we'll execute that at some point. They're building a new home. But then I walk into all kinds of homes, and they're like, I have this tiny little corner. But I really, it's really important to me that I give my kids a chance to practice their gross motor skills and to increase their, you know, their mobility, their strength. And I'm like, perfect. We have a solution for that. So we do the big custom spaces, which I love. And we also, I also have a manufacturing partner, and we manufacture certain products that can be installed in any home, in any space. And I mean, I have lots of plans for all of these various branches of the business, but it is really important to me that I'm able to offer something at all price points. I don't want to exclude people that can't sort of make a larger investment at this time. And then I often have people who come to me and they say, this is what I really want. This is what I can afford right now. Can you design it in a way that I can do it in stages? So I'm doing one right now where it's like, okay, we're putting in the Cali bars and we're putting in like a few hanging elements and some toy storage and some, you know, creative play stuff. And then in a couple of years or a year, 6 months, whenever they can afford it, they're going to add on to it. Fine.
But that's no how problem. It's supposed to be designed.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I think about it anyway.
Yeah.
Is I want these spaces to grow with the family. And I often will put in the Cali bars when the family really wants to be able to use it with their children. Then there are specific things that I recommend including in the space.
Emily, you ever get any parents that, and these are just going to be stupid parents, and I could say that because I'm not a parent. they're concerned that this might make my children want to be bigger risk takers in life and start doing some extreme sports or some crap like that. You ever get conversations like that happening? Because I could see certain helicopter parents these days. I don't want my kid to be like this person when they become an adult.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. I'm assuming that because if like I would be okay when I was, when my nieces and nephew were younger, my nephew, because he was the first boy in the family.
Yeah.
And he was really young. I was the uncle that would throw him up in the air as high as I can throw him, right?
You always need that uncle.
So I'm just like, this is perfect, right? And then his mom would get nervous about it. And I was like, listen, I'm being smart. I'm not doing it in the 8-foot section. I'm doing it where the ceiling's open in the staircase section.
Yeah.
There's about a 2-foot window there, but I'm doing it there. So then I would keep on doing it. And then I just looked at her and I just said, listen, if he falls, I'll just tell him, listen, Superman won't tell his mom, will he? So just don't tell his mom.
Secrets.
We'll just say something happened and we just don't know exactly what happened. I think, okay, broken bones and bruises are supposed to happen.
Yeah.
That's how you, like, I have them. I've had them. I still have them. It's just, that's how it is.
Yeah.
But parents get a lot of protectiveness going on where I don't want my child possibly getting hurt or possibly thinking I want to try this in the future as an adult.
Yeah. This is a conversation that I absolutely have with families. And I'm a very honest person. I will tell them straight up, like, this is called risky play. And I mean,
really?
Risky play according to today's standards.
Well, I was not surprised risky that a play lot of
according
the,
to
the details in playgrounds, in public playgrounds, have all been taken out. Like there's no monkey bars anymore.
I mean, there are, but not everywhere. They're replaced with a lot of things that are a lot lower and a lot more.
Yeah.
A lot. I mean, safer. I still walk into playgrounds sometimes and I'm like, whoa, that looks like a death trap. And sometimes I like that. The playground at my boy's school, there's some elements there that I'm like, that, like, someone's been seriously injured on that thing. And that's okay. Because, so Jordan Peterson has this, he says this thing, it's doing dangerous things carefully is the only place that we really learn and grow. Mm-hmm. Doing dangerous things carefully. Now, some people look at my spaces and think that's dangerous. Other people are like, that's not dangerous at all. I mean, we obviously take precautions to make things as safe as we can while not limiting kids, because we want them to challenge themselves. We want them to take those dangerous risks in a safe environment, because guess what? If they have the opportunity to build up their strength, their body mastery, their gross motor skills, guess what's going to happen when they go into an environment that is actually unsafe? Like, yeah. Who's better off? The kid who grew up with monkey bars and swings and the trapeze and the Cali bars in their home and played on that every single day? Or the kid who's never had to climb a wall?
I know.
Right? Like, that's the child that's going to get hurt. And I watch it all the time. Kids come over to my house all the time. And, you know, most of them are wonderful and great and completely capable. But oftentimes I will see a child enter into this space and I'm like, oh my God, like that child is going to hurt themselves because they don't have those abilities.
They're
not familiar with it, but also like their strength just isn't there. My 7-year-old, you know how many pull-ups that kid can do in a row? He's just like, he just whips them out. They're doing army push-ups. They love it. They love it. And I don't have to worry about them when I send them to a playground or send them. They're fine. They're fine because they know what their body is capable of. And I think that's really, really important for children to develop that confidence and that ability to understand what their body can tolerate. And that, like, this is the only way to learn that.
Meet Jonathan Sinelli, the visionary behind People First Leadership. Jonathan is not your average leadership coach. His People First Leadership approach focuses on putting people at the core of your strategy, creating workplaces where teams thrive and achieve outstanding results. What sets him apart? Jonathan is a master at asking thought-provoking questions that spark genuine conversations and challenge conventional thinking. His deep empathy helps him understand unique challenges and guide people toward impactful solutions. As an accomplished author, media host of the People First podcast, and seasoned project management expert with a background as an electrician, Jonathan offers unparalleled experience and practical insights. Whether you're interested in a one-on-one coaching or breakout room sessions, Jonathan customizes his approach to your needs. He also travels the world, speaking at conferences and business events, inspiring leaders with his dynamic presentations. Discover how People First Leadership can transform your approach and ignite your team's potential with Jonathan Sinelli. Call Jonathan at 416-717-4139 or email him at jc@jonathansinelli.com or reach out to him on his website at jonathansinelli.com. This message is proudly supported by the Construction Life Podcast. Have you been asked to take it outside?
Yeah. I've done some outdoor spaces.
You've done some outdoor? Yeah. I didn't see any outdoor spaces.
Oh, I'm really behind on posting.
Okay, no,
that's
I'm
the
just
only
curious.
Reason.
Okay, so
yeah.
You have been asked
yeah.
to do that.
Yeah. So we've done rock climbing walls outside, swings. I don't do like swing sets, like play, because honestly, like you can just buy that. I don't think we could execute that in a way that's sort of the way I would want to execute it, but like little playhouses and stuff outside, awesome.
Yeah, that's what I did in one of my first or second year of construction. I built a Looney Tune tree house.
Amazing.
Totally crooked house and a balcony. And then it had an age appropriate staircase.
Yeah.
So the risers were like 4.5 inches tall instead of the standard 7.5.
Yeah.
It was difficult for me as an adult to climb those stairs because you had to take 3 steps to just get. But it was easy for the kid. And it had rope railings on it.
Yeah.
And then there was swings underneath and a sand pit underneath. And they just let me go. And I had a blast building it and putting it all together.
Yeah.
Right. It's still there to this day. I haven't seen it in a few years. But
really?
The kids are older now. They're in, I think, the late teens now. They're probably all smoking weed in there now or whatever.
No, don't say that. I need to talk about that. I'm going to talk about that.
Why?
This has to be a conversation.
What about what? Smoking weed?
I don't have anything against smoking weed. I do have something against smoking weed.
I'm not a weed smoker. I'm a cigar smoker.
I don't smoke any of it, but I think it's a really important thing that it's an important conversation to have. One of the reasons that it's really important for me to move with my children and to have them see me daily taking care of myself and taking care of my body is because I want to show them what it looks like to love yourself, to honor yourself, to take care of your body. And I want to instill in them that that sense of that my body is a temple and it's my responsibility to do everything I can to take care of this, because we only get one. This is a conversation we have all the time. You only get one body. Mm-hmm. Are you sure that's what you want to do with it? Are you sure that's what you want to put in with it, put into it? Are you sure? And so I feel like if we're having these conversations from a very young age and we're showing them what it looks like to honor yourself and to take care of yourself, they are less likely as they get older to take big risks with themselves, because they have that sense of ownership and that taking care of their temple. And I don't have anything against people who choose to smoke, drink, do drugs, like that's your choice. But do I want that for anybody listening? Is that what any of us really want for our children?
Like, no, of course not, right?
Right.
It's just, you know, my temple has a fireplace in it. That's how I look at it. And I'm not saying that I smoke
enjoy
a stogie every
fireplace.
There's guys that smoke stogies every single day, like religion, like 3-4 days times a day.
Of course.
I'm not that. I've had 4 this year and we're going into August.
But that's beautiful.
The extent
great.
Of it.
And
so
enjoy
it's,
that.
It's more about the enjoyment and just hanging out with certain friends and having a conversation, and that's it. But I'm old enough to say, listen, I'm done. One is good. I'm good like that, right? I'm not a big, big drinker unless they're mojitos, unless I've made them. Mm-hmm. So that's different. But I don't have any strong vices that control me. I never have. But I've seen a lot, and I know exactly what you're talking about. I've met my fair share of people. They need to have it. Mm-hmm. They wake up and have to have it. And when you get to the point where you need to have something, it doesn't matter what it is, then you have to question why. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other discussion that you should have with yourself or with other people. Mm-hmm. But
really important conversation.
Yeah, I'm not controlled by it.
What are you numbing?
Exactly. That's where the conversation leads. Yeah. It goes to something else. And I mean, with your products and the kids, I look at it like possibilities. So they don't have time to be that, right? But also, it's kind of funny. Even before we started recording there, I went outside to have a conversation and there was a gentleman there smoking a cigarette. Mm-hmm. It doesn't bother me. I just came from Turkey. Everybody smokes there, including mm-hmm. the cats and dogs, all the strays, right? It doesn't bother me. But occasionally what happens is that it reminds me of my dad, because I grew up as a kid. My dad always smoked, right? Mm-hmm. So I will never go stop smoking. I'm not the one to start judging and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I notice that a lot of the younger generation, especially women, smoke a lot of weed, like mm-hmm. too much for my liking. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense to me, right? Mm-hmm. So it just, I'll never be the person saying, you know, because I've done my fair share of things that people have pointed fingers at me, mm-hmm. but I'm not here. I just won't be here. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to hang around this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I have the sense to not be around any of that.
Yeah.
But I won't judge you if you do it. I'll leave it at that.
Agreed. Completely.
Yeah.
It's your body. It's your life. When it's your children,
it's completely different.
It's very different.
That. Some of the parents that I disagree with, because I saw when I was younger, and a lot of the young parents having families, they started trying to sell me on the fact that their children is a lot better than other children because of how they were providing food or stimulants or something like that, that made their child a lot more smarter and all this other stuff. And I just said, okay, all right, fine. I'm going to get out of this conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't like, your child's going to be your child. I don't tell me that they're perfect, because no child's perfect. No. Because guess what? You're not perfect.
Yeah.
If anything, every human being has major flaws. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to.
That's the whole reason we're here.
Yeah.
It's because we are all flawed and we're doing our best to improve and grow and expand who we are. Otherwise, what's the point?
But it's really, this is amazing, because having children understand the value of moving and being physically active. We were just talking about this on a show. It's like, I don't see hockey players on the streets anymore because they prohibited that. Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't see cycling. I don't see kids cycling for the sake of cycling. In my opinion, I would love to see a bunch of grown men on BMXs, smoking stogies, going down the neighborhood street.
I see that in Leslieville.
I would love to see that.
There's a whole crew of
them. I would love to
see
that.
I think it's Saturday evening.
I think that's amazing. And yeah, I'm sure there's that one fun Karen out there who would probably call the police and think it's something. There's a gang in here and she probably just watched the movie Warriors or something like mm-hmm. that. And I'm like, no, I think it's just men or women trying to be youthful again, because as you get older, you forget to be a kid.
Yeah.
And that's what I miss about being on the job site sometimes, because when you have the right crew,
yeah,
the good,
it's the best,
Yeah.
It's the best.
And we all get along and we all banter and we, you know, racially offend everybody and we religiously offend everybody and we compare lunches because we have cultural differences and we're always amazed by the scents and the smells and everything like that. And we're like, that's what it should be about. Like, we're not disgusted by it. We're embracing it. Mm-hmm. And like, I used to joke, my circle of friends from high school was the UN. I was the white guy, technically speaking.
I was too.
Right? But I'm European, so I don't consider myself white. But I can't tell everybody that I'm a white person. Mm-hmm. Privilege, apparently, too, which I'm not. But I grew up on different cultures and different food, and I love that, and I miss that. Mm-hmm. So we should see more of that. And I think that this is what you're doing. You're getting a bunch of kids that coming over, connecting right away for the action.
Yeah. My favorite spaces to do are when I walk into a house and they're like, I want my home to be the community playground. And I'm like, let's do it. Let's do it. Like, that's, I freaking love
people don't that do that concept. Anymore. Huh?
But they, but
it's rare.
It's rare. It is rare. It is rare. But I don't know. I guess I get those people. I guess those people are the ones who are drawn to these types of spaces and to my work because they can see. So I have clients who will send me messages. Oh, we just hosted a 30-person birthday party in our space. Oh, now all the neighborhood kids come here after school. This is like the drop-in center for the street. Like, that brings me so much joy because, I mean, I've said it so many times, the whole purpose behind this business is to help people connect deeply with themselves and with each other and with their families. Like, I want families to thrive. I want children to thrive. I want families to stay together. How do you do that? Like, what I really believe that each person has a role to play in bringing up the next generation of kids. So what is your role? Like, what role are you playing specifically within your family and within your community? Because the community is built off of the families. It's individual families make up a community, and a community makes up a society. The family is the foundation. How are we strengthening the family unit? What is each and every person doing to strengthen the family unit, your family and other people's families? And for me, this was my way. I was like, I want to be part of that solution. I want to be part of this narrative around why are people so disconnected from themselves and why are they so disconnected from others? And how do we shift that? Because that is the only way we're going to advance as a community and as a society, is if we fix our internal world, because our external world is just a reflection of our internal world. You're talking about smoking. You're talking about, you know, excessively drinking. That is not, it's not the smoking that's the problem. Or it's not the excessive drinking or the excessive weed. It's what is the internal conflict that you are trying to escape from?
Yeah.
When you connect with that, when you connect with yourself, for me, it's through somatic movement. Like interoception, sitting quietly with myself, pre-workout, post-workout, during the workout, really paying attention to what is going on within my own body. And you start to, when you start to listen to that, it tells you. Your body tells you what it needs.
Of course it does.
And it tells you where your voids are and where your gaps are. And when you start to listen to that, you can start to learn how to regulate that. And when you yourself are regulated, you're going to show up as a different person within your family and within your work community and within whatever community you're a part of. If you yourself are grounded and regulated, you are going to contribute more to the conversation.
100%.
And I want to invite people not to do that once or twice a week at the gym. I think that's great. I go to the gym. I love going to the gym. I love doing a really, really intense class and getting crazy sweaty. And like, that's awesome. But if I had to only do that, then there would be a huge part of my practice that was missing. And that part is the part where I need to actually feel what's going on within myself. And teaching kids to do that, I think, is vital for their lifelong ability to listen to their intuition, listen to their body, and make choices that are right for them.
Have you, Emily, have you had conversations with schools?
No. I've had.
Do you want to go down that tricky road?
I don't know. I've had conversations.
You probably get shut down.
I mean, it's not that I haven't been approached. I've been approached by individuals or like people within the system who are like, I want to see this type of thing in schools. But I mean, that just seems like a really complicated path.
Stupid approvals.
Yeah, lots of approvals, a lot of politics, a lot of budget constraints. There's so many branches to this business that I'm so excited about. And that is one that I haven't really explored yet. Yeah.
Is it because of you can't find the right person to work with you on it, or you just are not ready? And listen, everybody does this. Like I do it myself too. It's hard to let go and try to get understanding that somebody else might have. I just had this conversation with a mentor of mine, right? That I talk to probably on a weekly basis. Yeah. And I finally just said to him, I was like, listen, dude, he's like 10 years older than me, so I can call him dude. I go, I don't want to handle any of this. And here's the grocery list. I don't want to handle it. Yeah. I don't have the passion for this crap.
Yeah.
And he goes, I get it. I understand it. You have the passion for the creativity side of things. I get it. I can give you a task, and its objective is to kind of come up with something creatively. You'll figure it out right away that way. I go, yeah, that's where I got my training from. That's where my thought process is. Regarding the other side of things, you're excelling at. This is what you've done successfully, and you've done it a number of times, and I want you to handle that crap.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about that. So I don't have a problem with, like, you take this.
Delegating.
And you basically tell me what you need from me. And then I'll just do it. I will never question it at that point.
Yeah.
Because I want to focus on my strengths and they focus on their strengths. And we move forward that way better. So is it a similar thing for yourself as well with this? Because this is going to get much bigger than what it's already at right now. It has to. Mm-hmm. I don't see how it's not going to. Mm-hmm. So you eventually can't be a clone of yourself on every single position.
Correct.
You have to bring other players into the game.
It's been a really good 6 months because this is what I've been thinking about. And I have expanded my team. So I am not attached to specific tasks within my job. I am very happy to find, like we talked about it at the very beginning. It's like I recognize what my skill set is, and I recognize that there's always going to be someone who's better at a specific thing than me, right? Maybe they don't have the overall vision that I have, but somebody who can like design something in, you know, CAD and whatever, there's a million people better than me at that. Yep. And I just hired one. So I love investing in people. I love connecting with people and I love seeing what they can offer. Yep. And so when I interview people, which I've interviewed many people over the last 6 months because I am growing. I love just going to them and saying, what do you love to do? And how do you see yourself being involved in this business? Because I want to know what you think. I don't know the answer. I don't know exactly where I'm going. I want to talk to the expert in all the different areas and see what could you contribute to this? And like, do you have a shared vision? If I know they have a shared vision, then I bring them on. Yeah, I'm really excited because I now have an architect who I've brought on, who will be doing a lot of my like shop drawings and stuff, and helping me think through packaging and how to turn things modular, which, you know, we're already well on our way, but refining that whole process. And then I'm growing my team. Like I've got an awesome, awesome team. My guy Tavis is the best. He is such a skilled carpenter. Everything he does is like perfection. I know that if I bring him onto a job, I don't have to worry about anything. And
is he from a furniture background or a construction background?
Yeah, construction and metal.
And metal.
Yeah. So, but he could build you a house. He could do anything. but he knows what my standards are.
Yeah.
I know him very well. I've known him for many, many years. And we just are at the point where it's like, I can give him a project. I used to be very involved in all of the tiny, every single detail. And I was in the shop all the time and I was on every site and start to finish every single day, all
day
long. Let it
go. Just let it go.
And I have, and it feels so good because it's not what I really want to do. I don't want to micromanage.
What's your best suit? Interacting with the family?
I am great at interacting with the family, okay. And I'm very good at design.
Okay.
Yeah. But I can also teach people the design part of things. I'm open. I think that's part of what this year has been, is I've just really let go of a lot of things I was holding on to and just really opened myself up to whatever life has to offer. And so I'm saying yes to a lot of things that I probably wouldn't have said yes to, like being on this show. I said yes, even though it's something that is uncomfortable for me and that is, you know, out of my, you know, out of the norm. I'm like, yeah, why not? And bringing on new people, yeah, let's do it. Okay, I'm hiring a crew in Vancouver. Amazing. Now I'm interviewing people in Kelowna. Awesome. Like, I'm just starting to say yes, and I'm watching as the universe is starting to sort of respond to that openness that I'm cultivating within myself.
I love it. I want to flip through some of this stuff, and I have a couple of suggestions that I'll throw at you, and you can tell me to piss off if you like. Okay. But
can I say something about
this?
Sure,
you could totally, yeah, give me the commentary.
One of my favorite things, so this space was actually designed by a designer, Maison Ellie. That's her company. Her name's Rebecca. And we've collaborated on several spaces. And I love working with other people. I love working with architects. I love working with other designers. So people either bring me on to do the whole thing myself, or they're working with a designer already on their home, and then I come in sort of as a sub. And both ways work for me.
Yeah.
Both ways are super creative. I get to design the actual movement elements and the loft structure and the climbing wall and whatever. And she, you know, did the wallpaper and the finishes. We work in a lot of different ways with different people. I have my own stylist as well. But I also love to collaborate because I'm so inspired by the work that other people do. I don't feel like I don't care about stepping on toes.
No.
I just want to work with whoever is inspired by my work.
What's the next? I just want to scroll through some of them. Yep. So this is more for the adults now, right?
I do a lot of gyms, yeah.
Yeah. And then this, what do you call this?
This rope thing?
Yeah.
Is
it a bunch of benches or like, are you standing or sitting here?
Both.
You're both because there are different levels there.
So I have a fiber artist who I work with.
A fiber artist.
Her business is Threads of Moonlight. Her name's Laura. And she is a weaver. So I will come up with whatever I can imagine that has to do with
rope,
cargo nets, whatever, rope. This is like an obstacle course. And we sit down together and we figure out how she's going to make it. So she and I made this together.
So she, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know what that is exactly. But
a fiber artist?
Yeah, she ties rope. She like designs rope.
So she does art with
rope.
Like, you know, macrame?
Yeah.
So she does a lot of that. She does these beautiful custom pieces with fibers. And so those will be sort of hung on walls. And then with me, she does these interactive pieces that are meant for climbing and playing. And so this, kids sit on it, they swing on it, they walk from sort of platform to platform. And it's just really good for like that cross lateral motion. That's really, really important for children. Great core strength, and they just have fun. They have fun while they're getting stronger and increasing their capacity.
See, if I was a kid, I'd be asking you, does it spin?
Sure, you can spin them. Go ahead.
But it's fixed though, right?
Yeah. Each top piece is fixed.
It's fixed, yeah, but you can't spin that whole thing. I would want to spin while I'm trying to navigate all the ropes.
I mean, we can do whatever you want. Totally, you want one of those? That. We can totally do a spinning obstacle course.
There'd be a few falling down moments, but
there's always falling down moments. I tell families that they're gonna fall. They're going to fall. Are you okay with them falling? Yes. Great.
And I love the slides. I love the straight slide and then the step slide.
Yeah.
All right, the next one. So people love the lofts, huh? I remember I had a client wanted me to build two lofts, bunk beds into the closets.
Yeah.
And then I started giving them numbers and I said, you realize that I can't do anything about the trim work. I'm going to have to cut the trim work to get the bed inside the closet. Mm-hmm. And at what point is this child going to be older and they're going to be an adult or late teen in this room and they're not going to want this little bed that's inside the closet kind of, and they kiboshed it at that point, right?
Yeah.
I was like, rightfully so. It doesn't make any sense at that point. So, but lofts like this makes a lot of sense.
Well, we do. It's funny because as soon as the client wanted a structure like this. And so as soon as I post one, then everybody wants that thing. And that's so then I'll post I'll post something and then the next 15 clients will want that thing. And then I'll post something else. The next 15 clients will want that. So I'll go some months where it's like all I'm doing are home gyms. And I love doing home gyms. They're just for adults. I mean, sometimes the kids go in, but they're intended for adults and we do all the racks and all the whatever equipment that you want. And we just make them really, really beautiful and really functional. And then, so last year I did, 6 months of gyms and then flip back to playrooms. It's whatever I post on Instagram.
What's the next one? More gyms. Yeah, yours is. I had an idea. I don't know. You can say yes or no. The monkey bars, which I like a lot, right? And I like that you make them into a different shape, and then you also match it with the mats on the bottom, because when you fall, you don't hit vinyl. Mm-hmm. To add like an abacus.
Yeah, yeah.
To add another bar in between each bar, where it has a rung of little pieces of wood.
Yeah.
So while you're hanging on with one hand, you have to take the other hand and slide that piece of wood.
You're brilliant.
Because that gives them like more of a challenge now. Yeah. Because I can see a kid trying it first time, going up the rock wall, and then they do it. Once they accomplish it, they're like, but now you start adding this other feature, which becomes more challenging now. And you have to think about how you're going to hold your strength and then move this, and you go back and forth, and you got to maybe move one little dowel wood to the next section, and the next rung, you got to move it the other way, and you got to keep on doing it.
Do you want a job?
I don't want a job. I'm throwing ideas.
You're hired.
At you.
I love it.
That's how I'm looking at it through a kid's eyes. I'm like, I get it. Mm-hmm. I would want more challenges at that point. And then maybe you go through it as one hand.
Yeah.
Because obviously you need two hands and then you become the monkey. And it's great. I love it. I totally love that, how it works there.
I make these bars so I can add some. Sure. I can add some wood.
Are there any images? Yeah. And then you got that one. Is that a swing there when you climb the ladder?
So these ceilings were really, really high. I think they were like 11 or 12 feet or something. Those bars that you see on the right side, in front of, so those are like, it's like a trapeze. It's a series of, so it's like monkey bars, but they move.
I love it.
And then the white ones are swings. Those are sensory swings, the compression swings. And a lot of my clients have children on the spectrum with autism spectrum disorder or sensory processing disorder, ADD, ADHD, any children who are real sensory seekers, these spaces are really, really important for them, because for the average, for a lot of kids, they need movement in order to thrive. But some kids need it in order to just function. Yeah. They need it to get them to the baseline. So we do a lot of movement spaces for kids like that who are sensory seekers. And then we do pediatric therapy spaces too. Mm.
The next one? Yeah. I love that too as well. So you got the rock on one side, you got a ladder on the other.
Yeah. And then the way it's actually used in real life is it's very much used in a circuit. Like a lot of these movement spaces, it's not like a child is going to go in and climb the monkey bars for 2 hours. They're going to go from element to element to element. Their body knows what to do. Your body knows what it needs. And for kids, they have to move often, regularly, but they'll go from one sort of quiet, creative activity to a dramatic play activity to a small world play activity where they're driving cars around to a gross motor skill activity, so like a climbing wall, to the net, you know what I mean? So they really use it in like a circuit. And so I'm always encouraging families, like, if you're going to put a space in your home, put it somewhere that's A, accessible, B, that you want it, that you want to spend time in, and make sure you're including other invitations to play.
Yep.
Lots of different types of play in the same space is really, really important.
So the other suggestion that I'll make, and you could take it or just say that's garbage, Manny. Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated by Scrabble tiles.
Okay.
Do you remember, you probably don't remember a game, there was this game that you would move the tiles around to make words out of it.
So it's like everything's fixed, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I remember.
But there was always one space empty, yeah, so you can move the letters to make different words of it, right?
Yeah.
And if there was like a wall that you created where if they wanted to take a break and it had a bunch of letters on it and they can spell out their name, mm-hmm, each one of them, and you're just literally moving. Because I've always had conversations talking to, there's a good woodworker that I know. He's got a nice shop. And yeah, actually, what am I talking about? Rob. He made this table and he did the CNC and everything at that. So beautiful. He built this for me. And then when he was building this for me, I was like, why couldn't you just make like oversized, large Scrabble tiles that I could put into a wall and I could just slide them and make different names? He goes, yeah, we could do that. It's kind of cool.
Did he make it?
No, he hasn't made it yet because I haven't really gone forward with it or even sold it to a client yet, right? Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm creative, so I come up with ideas, and sometimes I don't want to give it to clients because I think most clients are stupid. So then I'm like, you guys aren't going to benefit from this, so why am I going to give it to you guys? I'll give it to somebody else.
Right.
So here I am sharing it on the show, and you can take it and go with it. But I think there's a market for oversized Scrabble tiles that could be incorporated in yours using the same Baltic birch.
Yeah.
Right? Because and same with his CNC, it burns it black on the middle. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, now you got the kids that can play around with the letters and spell their names. And that's why I was thinking, yeah, that kind of makes sense too.
I love it. I like oversized things. I just designed a space with a massive 8x8 chessboard on the floor. Yeah, just with mats and these big.
And you built the actual?
No, you just get them, like I sourced them. And then I have a custom play mat maker.
Hmm.
I have somebody for everything, but this person makes custom play mats and it's an 8x8. Yeah.
See, I love that. That makes a lot of sense.
Cool. It's fun. I mean, you can do anything. The sky is the limit. You can literally come up with a million ideas and you'll still have more.
That's why you're just getting started, I think.
I am. Okay. I am. I am excited to keep expanding the team. Yeah.
You ever gone on a project that was nervous, that you were like really, really nervous going, I don't know if I could pull this one off?
Yeah, 100%.
Happens, yeah?
Yeah. It hasn't happened recently, but earlier on, yeah, I was very nervous for, as soon as we started building structures, because we didn't build any playhouses. It was, everything was just on the wall. And then as soon as we started building structures, I was like, this is out of my comfort zone and we're going to do it. And now it's like nothing.
Well, you were just nervous because?
Something new. It was something new. I didn't know if my designs would translate exactly the way I wanted them to in real life. I knew that the team could execute the woodworking, like that wasn't a problem, but it's more of my own, nerves around, is this design going to be really, really functional and also really beautiful? Just insecurity, but I've gotten over that. I'm good. I'm okay now.
See, this whole podcast experience has been completely painless, no?
Kind of. I mean, it's been wonderful.
We've got to do the 12 questions. Kind of. No, it's
been wonderful. Thank you.
You
went really easy on me.
I talk to everybody like this. Okay. Ask her.
Yeah.
This is how I am. There's no performance. This is how I was in the first. If you listen to the first show and you listen to that, first show could have been yesterday.
Amazing.
I just like, this is the show that I created and this is the environment that I created. I've had plenty of compliments about the interviewing style and everything like that. And I don't say it for my ego. I'm just saying that I'm just genuinely curious about what the person's doing and how they're doing it. And I'm just sharing. That's all I'm doing. Yeah. Simple as that. So
it's beautiful.
We got the 12 questions to do. Emily's here. Movement Rooms, www.movementrooms.com. Emily at movementrooms.com and on IG under Movement Rooms. So everybody follow her and reach out to her and email her and order.
Thank you.
What's your favorite construction word or phrase?
Tavis, my builder, says
Tavis,
Tavis, T-A-V-I-S.
What's his background?
He's
Eastern European or
no?
Why are you hiding?
Because I'm trying to remember what he is.
Oh.
He's half Guyanese.
Oh, he's Guyanese?
Yeah.
I love Guyanese food.
Favorite construction. He always says, don't be so hungry for work that you eat your own shirt.
Good one.
He's a smart guy.
It's a good one. Least favorite tool.
I mean, anything loud. I hate the grinder because it means we mess something up. If we pull that out, it means we're cutting off a piece of metal from something.
What do you miss from your childhood?
Riding bikes on empty streets.
Yep.
Yeah.
We need more people on bicycles on empty streets. And
we need more empty streets.
What construction sound do you love?
The quiet ones. painting, I love, there's nothing better than the massive paintbrush with the varnish on a beautiful piece of plywood.
Favorite beverage?
Coffee.
What turns you on and off in construction?
What turns me on in construction is just beautiful, beautiful woodworking. What turns me off are people who don't do what they say they're going to do.
Welcome to construction.
Yeah.
Favorite curse word?
Fucking fuck.
Favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
Mine. It's a white Dodge Grand Caravan with seats that fold completely flat. I love
like
it.
Like an old school one or a brand new one?
It's like a 2022.
Oh, okay. All right. So there's not even minivans now. They're like luxury buses is what they are now.
They're amazing.
They all have TVs now.
Anything. There's no TV.
They offer TVs and all the sets now on the back of the seats now.
Oh, really?
There's like storage compartments and freezers and like whatever. I'm waiting for microwaves.
I don't know what caravan you drive. I don't have
that. This is what I've seen. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
Oh, I've already done other professions. This is it for me. This is it. 99% is a bitch. 100% is the breeze. I'm in.
What profession would you not like to do?
Probably what I was doing before, which is medical soul publishing, like corporate.
Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
That you touched a lot of hearts and the people around you knew without a doubt how much you loved them.
Do you sign them on the back?
My spaces?
Yeah. On the back of the panel. You don't sign them?
On the wood?
Yeah.
I write all kinds of stuff on there.
That's what I figured.
I write love and joy and laughter and play and connection. Yeah. And that's what I write. Yeah.
Do clients see it before it gets installed?
No.
They have no idea?
They have no idea.
They do now.
Yeah.
I would be doing the exact same thing.
Yeah. I want to infuse these spaces. That's the energy that I want to infuse in people's homes.
It makes a lot of sense, yeah. Emily, thank you very much.
Thanks for having
Pleasure
me.
Pleasure finally meeting you after so long. And I love that it's such a huge success and it's going to just get bigger.
Thank you.
Awesome. Really keep up the good work.
It. Thanks, Manny.
Anybody who's interested in reaching out to you, please reach out to her and just ask her, hire her, whatever, or put an order in.
Awesome.
How long does it normally take? I know that on website you offer that. It's like it's a few weeks, so it could be longer depending on the scope, right?
It really depends, yeah. So usually turnaround is, I say, 2 to 6 weeks, depending on the scope of the project. We're starting to get into more sort of commercial type stuff, a lot of requests for daycares and condo amenity spaces, that type of work. That obviously a lot longer. But for a residential,
two to six. Nice.
Yeah.
That's it. We're done. Show's over.
Thank you.